redemption, and then we're also talking about reconciliation. There's parts where we talk about what happened at the cross was that God was reconciling us. So we were once enemies with God, now we're made friends. There's other ways. When you look through the book of Hebrews, it talks about sacrifice and Jesus' sacrifice and what that means for us. So we're looking at that. And then on Friday, Easter Friday and Sunday, we're looking at the love of God and the power of the cross as well. Okay, that's where we're heading. And last week we heard a great introduction about salvation. So, justification is what we're talking about today. And I gave you we had a little bit from Romans from chapter 3, and it skips on to chapter 4. But if you were to read through Romans yourself, certainly the first part of it, well, actually the whole book is about what justification means and then what it means to live out this justification in our lives today. So you can, don't see this as just the only reading. You can read the rest of Romans yourself. And actually most of Paul's writings talk about this idea that we are justified because of what Jesus has done. When we're in Christ, we are justified. So what does justification mean? Well, it's actually a legal term. Okay, Paul's talking here to an audience that would have just understood this straight away. When we think about justification, I think my kids, if they've stolen some sugar from the cupboard, then they come up with their own little justification as to why it's okay to do that. That kind of thing happens all the time, justification for what they've done. But this is a different sort of justification. It's a legal term. That Paul's talking about a legal term and people would have understood that. Think about it as how is our legal status in the eyes of God? How are we? Does God look at each one of us and declare us guilty or not guilty? That's what we're talking about here. Your legal status in the eyes of God. And what's actually happening is you need to imagine, here's a courtroom. This is the best picture I could find of an Australian courtroom. And I'm pretty sure that's the accused there in that little box and the judge is at the top there. So I have to imagine that we come to the end of our lives and there we are in our box and there's God there, our judge. And you can imagine that God has, he knows all and sees all and understands all. So every little thing that we've done, God saw it. Every little thought that we had, God saw it. And you can imagine, some people talk about it like a big filing cabinet. And God opens up the file on Benji Callan. Okay, stops. And let's look at all the things that Benji Callan did. And let's see how he matches up. Was he perfect or not? And file after file. Or you can imagine it's a TV screen of all your thoughts and all the deeds that you did. Or what about God has access to the internet and he can see everything that you posted, every dislike or something that you clicked on that you're not too proud of. That's all there too. How do you match up? And right now you're thinking, oh, how can I get out of this? Could I get a time machine and undo what I did? Probably not. Surely time just fixes things. I was good at the end of my life. I did some silly things right at the start, but surely time fixes things. Well, as we've seen in the news lately, it doesn't matter where your crime was in the eyes of the court of law. I mean, in Australia, you still need to be accounted for that sin. So a time machine won't work. What if you say sorry? Well, that kind of feels a little bit empty, maybe. What if you go, well, hang on, let's see a file. Can we look at the other file of all the good stuff that I did? That's surely just as big, if not bigger. Surely that cancels out what happened over there. And that's where we're thinking. So God's there and he's about to put the hammer down, guilty or not guilty. And you know what the answer is. Guilty, of course. But you cry out, I have faith in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. And Jesus steps in and says, guilty, I paid the price. And then God looks straight at you and says, you are justified. You are righteous. You are perfect. Through Jesus Christ, you are justified. Not just you're forgiven, but you are righteous. You are made holy. First class honors, 100%. And you're thinking, how did that happen? Isn't that amazing? That's what justification is, by faith alone. Not by anything that we did. And this is where it's different to all the other religions. It's not by anything that we did on this side, that we all the good stuff on that file, but it's simply through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen, isn't it? That's what we're talking about here. However, I'm hearing some of the thoughts that I was having as I was preparing this, might be similar thoughts to you having. This is a picture of Port Lincoln Prison, and when I was in Port Lincoln, I had a wonderful privilege of going there probably once every 2 months to do a service there, and there was probably about 20 people that would come along, 20 of the prisoners, which was actually about 20% of the population there. So quite a lot of people came to that church service. And if I was to tell that story just then, there would be people just jumping up the aisle saying, yes, thank you, Lord, because they get a strong sense that they have done some pretty bad stuff in their lives. I never wanted to find out. I treated them like they were justified by Christ. So I treated them as that person. Not the person that they were before, but they would often come to me at the end of a service and say, I'm so thankful for what Jesus has done for me. I found a new purpose for living. My sins have been wiped clean. I'm just so grateful. That was their experience of this. Now, perhaps that's not you, because you're not in prison. You haven't been found to be guilty of really extreme crimes. Maybe you're struggling with a lot of other things. What I've just said about justification actually assumes quite a lot. And when Paul was talking about it, those assumptions would have already been there for the audience, the readers. But for us, we have to make a lot more steps to get to where Paul's audience got to. So I'm going to go through those, okay? Yes, I'll go through them quickly. All right. So the first one is that God exists and God cares about us. So in turn, understand that we're made with God, we're made right with God through faith in Jesus. God exists and God cares about every one of us and sees everything that we do. Now, I know that God exists because I just have to look at nature and look at the inside of a cell and I can't help but go, God must exist. And I know that God cares about me because I've experienced God in my life, the peace that that no one else can explain. There's more to life than just what our brains can think of. I'm happy with that. So I'm hoping that you might move on with me to the next step. Next thing is that we have to come to an understanding about who God is. God is a loving judge. Okay, you look through the Old Testament, look through the New Testament, and you see that God is a judge, and that's actually okay. I'm really good about that. That's an exciting thing, because if God wasn't a judge, that means we can get away with everything. And that means that the horrid things that have happened in this world, they get away with it. I quite like the idea that the God is a loving judge. And God is a loving father as well. And when I say a loving father, it means that when we do bad stuff, when my kids do something that upsets me, that is not right, yeah, it kind of hurts, and it creates like a disappointment in some ways, isn't it? Or just a sadness. And I think it's the same with God. We'll move on. We need to understand that God fearfully and wonderfully made us. Okay? And that God has a perfect plan for us. And Jesus talks about there's a narrow path and there's a wide path. And we need to take that narrow path that God has for us. But we too often take that wide path. We need to understand that there is sin in this world. Sin exists. Now, that's pretty easy to do these days. You just have to turn on the television or read the news and what's happened to Christchurch. I could have talked about something else last week, something else the week before, something else the week before that. Sin exists in this world. Maybe the next leap that we need to take is a bit harder for you. We also need to understand that we have all sinned. It says that in Romans, that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. If you think about perfection as like a ladder, which goes right up to the ceiling there. Jesus' perfection up there, you might have the person who did what they did at Christchurch might be right down there. Where do you fit in this? Maybe you might go a bit halfway. I don't really want to. You're not that kind of person, that halfway. Well, someone like Mother Teresa would say, you might think Mother Teresa, yeah, she'd be 80%, maybe 90%. She did a lot of good stuff. But she herself would say, I'm nothing compared to Jesus Christ. I'm far down here. So if that's Mother Teresa, then where are we? We've all fallen short of the glory of God. So we also need to understand that there are consequences to our sin. Consequences. Sin, when I use the word sin, one way that I like to think about it is acts of unlove. Okay, acts of unlove. Or choosing the wide path rather than the narrow path. There are consequences to it. We all know that there's immediate consequences. If I was to say something really hurtful to Nicole, she would feel that right now. And there will be immediate consequences. Probably I would have a very lonely night. I don't know what. But we also need to understand that there's eternal consequences for our sin. So where does that leave us? Back to where we started from. Jesus died for all. He paid the price so that when we come to that court of law with God, God doesn't go guilty, which we all deserve, but he looks us in the eye, and in Christ he says, you're justified, you're righteous, 100%. That's how I see you. Isn't that amazing good news? Isn't that good news that you need to share with others? So, I need to finish up. So Olga is going to come here, and she's got a beautiful song to sing for us. And she's been practicing this for a while. And she's actually playing with the guitar as well. And as she plays this, at the end of this, I want to say a prayer for us. And it's a prayer. There might be some people here who have heard this, and maybe they never got it before, but they can feel the Spirit moving in them, and they go, I really want to say yes to Jesus right now. I get this sense that, yes, I have fallen short of the glory of God, and I love this idea of justification by faith alone. And I don't get all of it, but in my unbelief, help me to believe more. So at the end of this, as you think about what's going on, I'm going to pray for you, and I'll ask you to stand up. But there might be some others who have forgotten that it's by faith that we are saved, justification. And we keep going back to this file too often, and there's this sense of guilt and shame that keeps creeping back with us. Let justification be like a rod in you that lifts your head high So you can walk proudly amongst others, knowing that we are justified. So I'm going to pray for those people too. Thank you, Olga.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure.
What you say of me?